You won that one.
Yeah.
Good.
Good. Ready? Yeah, ready. Let's do the league podcast. I mean, it's been a little while since I've been battered down in confidence week after week. It's I'll just play the intro.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball.
One ball!
The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores!
Goal. Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores!
Goal. Scoring the goals.
Oh, welcome back. I'm sure most of you are more pleased to hear that tune than you are to hear Pete Farris and myself, Lee Phelps, but we are back, like it or not. There's no need to change things when they're not broken, as far as I'm concerned, so we've changed it a little bit. This year we're going to have some about five or six featured matches every podcast. We're going to obviously rotate it, a bit like the telly do. You know, why not do what they do? So everyone will get a chance. We're still going to have the League One and League Two best bets, and we're going to do a little both teams to score double as well. Pete, Andy Murray, legend. Lions, was entertaining, pretty brutal at times. Tour de France, yeah, even that was all right. But it's back! Football!
There was a moment that I was with a lady friend of mine the other night, and this isn't going to get...
Ah, you make sound like you've got lots.
This isn't going to get graphic, and if she's listening, I haven't got lots. But, just three. But, I sat for a moment, and there was a moment of silence, as they do in burgeoning relationships, and there was just a little moment of romantic silence, and I went, yes! Really loudly, and she jumped, and she went, so what are you doing? And I went, football's back on Saturday.
You don't know how long have you been seeing this girl?
About a month.
So she hasn't experienced Pete in football season.
She hasn't.
Uh-oh.
It's actually dangerous. I don't know what. I am a different human being. I've been walking these corridors like a ghost for the last 2.5 months, just not having anything to say or do, and having the only thing I can talk about gone. But it's back. Really excited. The Premier League's gonna be the most interesting it's been for years. I think League One's gonna offer huge amounts of value and interest. League Two's gonna offer huge amounts of value and interest. But as always, my focus is here. Into the Championship, of what I think is going to be an absolutely excellent season. I genuinely think that the promoted teams are not nailed on to go straight back up. I think one possibly is, but I think the other two aren't. Sorry, the relegated sides, I should say. Yeovil and Bournemouth, I expect to have average seasons, but not be horrendous in that regard. I think there's going to be some really, really, really interesting markets. And if it's the chaos we saw last year, let's not kid ourselves, it was tricky last year. But it was fun and it was mad, and I think we're going to get another year of that now, and I cannot wait.
It's the 125th Football League season, and it all kicks off with Sheffield United versus Notts County. How else would you kick off such an historic anniversary? At Bramall Lane, Sheffield United are 19-20, the draw's 12-5, Notts County are 3-1. Of course, a season of frustration for both clubs last year, more so Sheffield United, who looked for all the world like they were going to go up, and then they didn't. This time round, they'll be looking to improve on the same thing, I think, and that's scoring goals. Towards the end of the season, the Blades were blunt. And ditto for County, 12 goals in the final 11 games. The question is, Pete, to start off with this one, is have either of these teams or both of them done enough to change that stat?
No. It's as simple as that. Notts County have lost Alan Judge, which I think is a big, big hit for them in terms of assists and the pace down the right-hand side. Sheffield United, you say they lost Dave Kitson, and that sounds massive when you think about Dave Kitson's sort of relative reputation, but he wasn't a huge goal-scoring influence for them, but he was an experience influence. They've got a lot of good young players coming through, like John Kofi, you know, and that's good, but they've still not replaced that goal-scoring edge. 56 goals leads what they scored in the season last year. That was like the 11th best in the league. If you're aiming to get promoted, which Sheffield United were last season, and probably slightly less as every season goes, that's not good enough. That's not enough to get you up, and that's the real worry for me. This is a nailed-on draw, and I'm going to start saying nailed-on more often in this podcast.
Dangerous.
It is incredibly dangerous, but I'm a maverick. This for me is a draw. First of all, we've had four of these Friday night season openers now. It's been going for 4 years. Sheffield United, in fact, were a team that were involved in the first ever Friday night season opener. That was against Middlesbrough. I was at that game. It has traumatised me beyond compare or belief. It has traumatised me because it was that bad. three of those four Friday night season openers, Lee, have been under 1.5 match goals. That's 2-1 in this game. That looks really interesting to me. It does. But the draw at 9-4, not to count, drew 11 games on the road last season. Huge amounts. They couldn't kill games off. I don't see any way in which either of these sides have particularly improved. Connor Cody's an interesting signing. And David Weir has, from the looks of pre-season, got Sheffield United playing attractive attacking passing football. But the point is, I don't think there's tips to those spears at the moment. Or certainly, there's not enough for me to want to take the punt on there being tips to those spears at the moment. For me, the 9-4 draw is a definite play, and the under 1.5 goals at 2-1 is then also a real look.
Yeah, there's a few special offers that William Hill have come up with this season. Acca Insurance, which probably a lot of you are aware of, where you can have five or more teams, and if you miss by one, you get your stake back as a free bet. There's a second chance one, which revolves around first goal scorers, and there's Boar Draw as well, which if you have a correct score or double result bet, and the game finishes 0-0, you get your stake back as a free bet. So well worth checking out.
Is that on the internet as well?
I think it's everywhere, especially on mobiles.
Okay.
If it isn't, then don't come blaming me. Let's have a look at the Championship then. The first TV game that we're going to look at is Burnley versus Bolton. It's a 12:15 kickoff. If you like your 12:15s, when there are pretty tired first halves, well, maybe this one will be extra tired because it's the first one of the season. I guess we've got to really look at the kind of the transfers on a lot of these games. Yeah. And see what we got. Because you're not a massive fan of the head-to-head. We could look back to last season, but I mean, Bolton, Jermaine Beckford, probably their marquee signing, I guess. We know he can score goals at this level. Mm-hmm. Not too much from Burnley. Ryan Noble, the striker in from Sunderland, have they improved enough to improve their league position from last season? Because I know you were a fan of Bolton last term.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I actually covered a couple of Bolton games. I'll be covering this game on Saturday, actually, Burnley-Bolton. And it's a pure Bolton win for me, this. I could not look beyond it. And in fact, looking at the priceology of this at 7-4, it looks absolutely wondrous. And I mean wondrous. The draw no bet in this game for Bolton as well is also worthy of your time and your investment, 10-11. These two teams met, they actually opened the season against each other last year, if you remember. That was the first game for both these teams last year. Two different managers, Owen Coyle, of course, at the time at Bolton, Eddie Howe at the time, of course, at Burnley. Both of those men have left. It was a tight game, but Burnley still came out in the end as winners. But huge amounts of change. I mean, Sean Dyche is a very good manager who I like a great deal and got them into 11th last season. Burnley did well. Dougie Friedman, well, he left in the end, promoted Crystal Palace side, went off to Burnley and... Sorry, to Bolton, I should say. And on the final day of the season, they just about missed out on playoffs after a phenomenal run toward the end of the season. The loss of Kevin Davies really does mark the end of an era for Bolton and a fresh start. That's one of the reasons why the club weren't too keen to keep Kevin Davies on. But he is a club hero. He's gone off to Preston. But I think at times as well, I think it wasn't Kevin Davies' fault, but I think that at times he was used incorrectly or people around him were used incorrectly. How many times last season did I say that the ball was lumped forward to Kevin Davies? He nodded down, he'd win a header because he'd win everything in the air, of course, and there'd be no one there to pick it up. And I think that at times was a little bit restricting tactically. So I think Bolton are a definite play here. They have lost Sam Ricketts. They've also, of course, lost left-back Alonso, which is, I genuinely think, a big loss for them. But Jermaine Beckford can be so dangerous given the chance. He's had a bitty few years, but he can be so dangerous. Marvin Sordell, after an unsettled year last year with a good second half, he's going to be a big play. Chris Eagles, of course, is a big play, and we know backing him again and again from many time goal scorers last year. There's something surprising coming up. that he is going to obviously be a huge part of the season for them as well. Mark Tierney's great. Alex Baptiste was chased by 8 or 9 clubs, and they brought him in. A massive loss for them beginning of the week. Stuart Holden, a man who was so important to them a couple of years ago, was injured very badly 2 years ago, has just picked up another horrible injury. He's going to look at 7 months out now. That's a big blow for them. The guy just cannot get a break at the moment. He cannot get a break. Burnley.
Bad pun.
Yeah. Oh, well, it was actually a ligament injury, but the point remains. You just can't get away from it about injuries. I mean, Burnley have signed a decent keeper in Tom Heaton from Bristol City, Ryan Noble from Sunderland. But I've got to say that, for me, no sign that makes them dangerous. All of this, I think, adds together for huge revenge for Bolton. It's a big game. Dougie Friedman will get them fired up. They've looked okay in pre-season. 10-11 draw, no bet. But Bolton on the outright at 7-4. And do you know what? There's another reason to be backing Chris Eagles today. Sorry, I should say at any point before Saturday. He used to play for Burnley.
Mug bet. You've got to start the season off with a mug bet, I think.
Well, not only to mug bet, it's a guy we backed at big prices consistently last season and landed on in big prices consistently last season. He's been nibbled in a lot. Last season he was 9-4. This season, sorry, 11-4. This season he's 9-4. He's the play. Chris Eagles, 9-4. And why not have an anytime goal scorer win cast as well, eh, you cheeky little listeners? If you want to play Chris Eagles anytime and Bolton to win, you will receive NA under a blank grey suspension and then it'll turn to 4-1.
Nice. Yeah, decent. Reading versus Ipswich is the next one we'll look at. We'll come to the other TV game at the bottom end of it all, and that's Derby Blackburn. But Reading 10-11 to beat Ipswich on the opening day. 3-1 Ipswich, 5-2 the price for the draw. Reading, of course, one of the teams demoted. It's going to be interesting to see how they go. And Pete, as he alluded to, isn't overly confident on them. Not too many players in particularly.
I didn't allude to that.
I thought you said that you didn't think the relegated teams would do that well in the.
I said two of the relegated teams wouldn't. I said one of them I do think will go up.
And this is the one.
This is the one.
Ah, there you go. I picked the wrong one. See, I think Wigan will do well, you see. So that's the first disagreement we can have.
I don't think Owen Carl has a plan B. But,
lots of departures, obviously, and that's often the way. Not many coming in, though. I mean, Royston Drenthe is one that really catches the imagination, doesn't it? Playing this Ipswich side, who we know, I mean, they've done the same thing on a couple of seasons now, Pete. They've started horrendously, but you can't really fault the way they ended the season last year. And the pre-season, whether you believe in pre-seasons or not, it's been pretty good for them as well. There'll be a confidence side going into this Ipswich. Is 3-1 a little big on the opening day of the season?
I think it's maybe a little big. I mean, we looked at a lot of huge prizes last year in the Championship, and one phrase I saw bandied around was anyone who's 3, 4, 5-1 or bigger in the Championship must be backed in some way, shape or form. And I think there's logic to that. I don't think there's logic to it here. Reading a 5-2 for promotion with William Hill, and I think they get it. Not only have they kept the very core of the squad together, you know, which they have, really, the important players they've kept together.
Got rid of the excess baggage almost.
Yeah, the excess baggage. Yeah, people like Noel Hunt and so on and so forth have obviously left the club. That team was, of course, a Championship team last year anyway, really, on the whole, wasn't it? They've given Jimmy Kebbe, a man who will rip teams apart in this league, a new contract. They've tied him down. They've kept players like Bob Grebniak. Wayne Bridge was the league's best left-back last season. Royston Drenthe, if various off-the-field issues can be sorted, he's a man who can absolutely tear leagues apart. Yep. And he's absolutely awesome. We saw for Everton, the guy can do a great job. So Royston Drenthe is a great signing. So they've got Kebbe on one side, Drenthe on the other. They've got Wayne Bridge covering Drenthe's marauding. And then they've got one, I think, the most important bit. They've got Nigel Adkins. This is a guy who got Southampton up, barring a small little wobble, to Reading, of course. He got Southampton up easy as you like. I mean, he has the right attitude in this league. We will go at you. We will make it dangerous for you. We'll concede, but we will score. And he just wants to throw everything at games. And that's exactly how I think to do this Championship, if you've got the right players. They got 85 goals at Southampton when they were promoted. Ipswich, I think, will be a dark horse this year. I think they'll have a really decent season. Mick McCarthy got them playing good football. They've got rid of one or two pieces of deadwood, haven't they? Someone like Michael Shopery, for example, who can be such a talent, but it comes with other problems as well. He's left the club. I think bought really well. Cole Skuser is a man who I've always rated. He's come in from Bristol City. Paul Anderson has come in from Bristol City as well. David McGoldrick, of course, brought in fully now. I mean, McCarthy is a man who got them dangerous and made them sorted. So that's the most important thing. Reading, though, at the Medeski are going to be so hard to beat this season. I have no doubt about that. If I could get a loss spread at Reading at home this season, it'd be 4-under, 3-under. I don't see them losing many games at home. I think Reading are going to revert to the Nigel Adkins way, which is we will concede, but for the love of God, we will score more. And Reading in over 2.5 goals is 15-8.
Interesting. Millwall, Yeovil next. Millwall, even money. 12-5 the draw. Yeovil, 11-4. This time last year, a lot of us were predicting that Millwall wouldn't have a great season. Well, they kind of turned the tables to a certain extent, and they've made some really interesting signings. Scott McDonald from Middlesbrough is obviously an interesting one. They've got Richard Chaplow in as well. Jermaine Easter from Palace. Getting on a bit, but can still do a job, even if it's not scoring loads of goals. Stephen Bywater, keeper from Sheffield Wednesday as well. Playing a Yeovil side who have got the squad that's worth least in the Championship, but the loan business might be what keeps them afloat, I suppose. Four loanees from Premier League clubs, Pete. A shorter price to beat Millwall than Ipswich are to beat Reading, 11-4. Millwall would want to get off and should get off to a winning start here.
But I don't think they do. No. I think Yeovil get off to a winning start here.
Interesting.
Let's just browse through the players that you mentioned there. Richard Chaplow's a good signing, but isn't the youngest.
No.
Nicky Bailey, who they brought in from Middlesbrough, is a very good signing if they use him the right way. Scott McDonald, who you mentioned a moment ago, was Middlesbrough's top scorer for a couple of seasons. Scott McDonald will be fired up. He had a nasty time really at Bury. He got a couple of injuries he couldn't shake for a long time. Then he and Mowbray had a bit of a falling out. He said it'll be nice, he said, to play in front of an atmosphere again, because he said there was no atmosphere at Middlesbrough. But there's been so much on Twitter today, and people, Millwall fans, general Championship fans, taking the mick out of what he said and saying, oh, he's right, etc. But that actually, he would have been right if that's what he was saying, but that wasn't the point he was making. If you actually look at the full quote, it'll be nice to play in front of atmosphere again. A lot of people in Middlesbrough sadly can't afford to go to football matches at the moment. It's a deprived area where people are struggling for jobs. So he makes a very valid, very logical, very rational point.
Yeah.
And loads of people I've seen on Twitter today going mental about it. How dare Scott McDonald? Well, no, if you read the full quote, he's actually being very rational and fair about it. He'll be fired up. He's a very dangerous player given the right service. Steve Lomas did a great job at St Johnstone last year, got them to one of the highest finishes in years, and obviously has come with a bit of high stock. But there's something unconvincing about Millwall, and Scott McDonald, he's a kind of player that will frustrate Millwall fans. He really will. He's a good player and a nice guy, but on the field he will frustrate Millwall fans. And I have a real gut feeling this season for not a great year for Millwall. I mean, don't forget, they finished only 2 points off the relegation places last year.
Yeah,
it wasn't as phenomenal as some people have suggested. So that's the worry. I mean, Lee Martin, I think, is a very good signing as well. But Yeovil, I think, are fascinating. Not the biggest, in the scheme of things, away day trip for them, you know, in terms of what they might have to do at a couple of occasions this season. They haven't strengthened hugely other than those loan signings. Gary Johnson, you know, may have liked more in terms of personnel, but this is a guy who, outside of that horrible blip at Northampton, has had a cracking Championship League record. I mean, did great things for Peterborough, did phenomenal things for Bristol City, and what I like about him the most is his ability to inspire, to fire up, to get players going at things, you know, to get that fire in their bellies, like the Canio in a way, except slightly more rational. And what I think you need on the first day of the season is a manager who can put the fire up you. And I think they'll travel and he will put the fire up you over. He'll be saying, you can do this. They won't have travelled as long as they will have to on occasion. He will say, you've got nothing to fear. Everyone in this league thinks we're going to be the whipping boys. You've got nothing to fear. Go for it. They've got a dangerous goal scorer. We know that in Paddy Madden. And everything for me suggests that Yeovil are overpriced in this game. Yeovil draw no bet is 7-4. And I love that.
Good. I'm pleased. Birmingham Watford next, 9-5 Birmingham, 23-10 the draw. Watford 6-4. Of course, Watford went right down to the wire, didn't they? But they couldn't do it. Their transfer policy, as ever, it looks like a United Nations. Only a couple of English players brought in, Reece Brown and Lewis McGugan. That's obviously a good signing. But the others from all over, from far and wide, making some of the loans from last year into permanence. As for Birmingham, a lot of defensive players brought in, which obviously tells you what they're thinking this season. Lee Novak from Huddersfield brought in as centre-forward. This is an intriguing game, isn't it? You know, I'm always intrigued by teams who fall at the final hurdle and how they, or the semi-final hurdle, how they react in the next season. Yeah. Big test of the manager, big test of the players and the character. And what about Birmingham as well? I mean, they're a strange team to decipher, aren't they? Lots still going on behind the scenes in terms of whether the club's got new owners or not. I think this is a hard one to predict. What do you say?
I think Watford win it. I think every point you've made about how a team bounces back is incredibly valid. It's going to be interesting to see what Watford do. Outside of Vydra, you could argue they've not really got any weaker. Vydra is a big loss, but they brought in Javier Cunha.
Yeah.
He was brilliant for Girona, 17 goals last season for Girona, and is a very good player, again, being looked at by a lot of Championship clubs, was Javier Cunha. This, for me, is a team who are as solid as they were last year, who came very close against a team who are weaker. Because for me, Birmingham are unarguably weaker. Yes, they've brought in 10 players this summer. There are one or two shining examples. Andrew Shinney, I think, is a very good SBL player. Brought down from Inverness, a penalty taker, but also a man who can create chances. He was a big reason why Billy Mackay was as good as he was for Inverness Caledonian Thistle last season. 16 goals for him last year, but it's his movement that I like the most. Curtis Davies, he's a big loss. I mean, 6 goals for a defender is very good haul, but it's not his goals that you miss. Curtis Davies was very experienced, was very good defensively for Birmingham last season. And then they've lost him. And, of course, they've lost Nathan Redmond. And that's the thing. Nathan Redmond, again, a young player, full of pace, full of power, full of trickery. He changed. He's a game changer. And I look at that Birmingham squad now, and I can't see on the whole too many game changers. Mm-hmm. And that is my issue. Of course, further problems off the field. But I've got to say, it really does look like a good bit of value on Watford. They've, of course, like you said, brought in permanent players permanently who are on loan, people like Abdi, people like Cassetti, and so on and so forth. And it's just the core of that squad, which, don't forget, was pretty young. It's a pretty young squad that last year. Yep. That could be experience. Think of how Andy Murray loses in a Wimbledon final, comes back next year, wins a Wimbledon final. Adam Scott messes up the Masters, comes back, wins the Masters. At the Open, he blew it at the Open as well. But the point remains that can be a huge learning experience for you. Going to the very... McIlroy did it.
Yeah.
If you think as well. I mean, you know, he's falling apart again now, but the point remains he did it as well. And for young people, getting to the very bottom and getting destroyed can sometimes be the best thing because you've got all the talent and you build up your resolve again.
Yeah.
Watford, for me, absolutely the play at 6-4. I think Watford are going to have another really good season.
Nottingham Forest is the against Huddersfield is the final game that we'll look at before we get onto that TV match. 8-11 Forest, 13-5 the draw, and Huddersfield 15-4. Nottingham Forest have put together the sixth most expensive squad in the Championship, according to our sources, Pete. Mm. Mackie's probably the one that's made people sit up most, I guess, in the media. As for Huddersfield, James Vaughan back from Norwich. A few others. I think they've made some decent sense. John Stead never really scored goals. He's 30 years old now, but he's always a name you think, eh. Adam Hamill from Wolves, interesting signing as well. Again, though, you don't expect them to do too much better than they have done. They'll continue to build, but I know you've got a nice fancy for Forest this year, haven't you?
I have. I think Forest have a really, really good year, obviously. Yeah, apart from that sort of losing three of the last five under Billy Davies, they were absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Drew a few too many, but it'd taken over a team that by that point was just, you know, had been passed from pillar to post to such an extent that I think getting them anywhere near the playoffs was an excellent feat from Billy Davies, a guy who I think in this league is unquestionably talented. You've got so many, by the way, managers this year in this league who are unquestionably talented. You know, you've got McDermott, you've got Mick McCarthy, you've got Mowbray, loads of managers who've got promoted from this league. You know, it's amazing in terms of the quality of management down in the Championship. Mike Robbins is a decent manager, but there's real rumblings of discontent behind the scenes at Huddersfield. They finished the season very strongly and had to because they were looking in a little bit of danger at one point. Huddersfield, of course, they only stayed up really, didn't they, thanks to that draw with Barnsley. If you remember, the Barnsley keeper holding onto the ball basically having the ball at his feet for 3 or 4 minutes because both teams knew that a draw was good enough to see them stay in the league. So it's amazing when you think of it like that, isn't it? But I think Forest have a great season. Jamie Mackie is an absolutely fantastic signing. When you look at their attacking players, Simon Cox, Dexter Blackstock, Jamie Mackie, less so Darius Henderson, Tud Guy made a difference, Patterson, there's some real goal-scoring quality there. In the midfield, Lansbury, Majewski, you know, Guardiura, Abdoun, Chris Cohen, who I'm a huge fan of if he's fit. These guys, that's a great midfield. And it's Billy Davies again and again and again, Lee. Now, I looked at this game, and I thought, I've got to be back in Forest. 8-11 is short on the first day of a season. I know listeners will look at that and think, that is short for the first day of the season. I think that's brilliant. But you know what this game really jumped out to me was? Jamie Mackie. 15-8. Have the William Hill traders lost their minds?
Yes.
Because Jamie Mackie, okay, has what I think you would describe as, at this level, unquestionable history and quality. You know, he scored 10 goals a few seasons ago for QPR. This is a guy who, you know, had, what, 8 the season after. He wasn't used as an out-and-out striker, but he is unquestionably good enough to be that. He is unquestionably good enough to be that. 15-8 for the guy that has spent £1.25 million on. For me, Jamie Mackie should be ahead of probably Henderson, Derbyshire, and probably Blackstock in that market. I think 15-8, Jamie Mackie, is excellent. But at the end of the day, if you want a short price, 8-11 looks great. I also think match result on both teams to score, Forest at 100-30, is great.
Very nice. The TV game then is Derby County versus Blackburn. Interesting game. When you look at the signings, we were talking before.
Yeah.
Derby, I mean, they've made some decent signings, but again, another team I'm not sure that they've made enough to improve on what they did last year. And we all know about Blackburn. They've still got the same old problems you'd suspect, but they're still kind of bringing players in who are of interest and who should perform well at this level. You know, DJ Campbell should do well. Kilgallen should add something. But what about, Derby brought one or two in on loan, I suppose, but Blackburn need to get off to a good start here, put simply, don't they? 13-5 to win the game says it all to me. 21-20 Derby, who did well at home last season, and 12-5 the draw. I think there's a lot of value kicking around. It's just picking the right ones. I mean, should Blackburn be that big a price?
No. I, in fact, think they have a really good chance of winning this game, Lee. First of all, step number one, they've kept Jordan Rhodes.
Yeah.
Straight away, vital thing. 33 goals last season is a stunning return, and if they had a slightly more settled behind-the-scenes approach, then that £7 million would have looked like spare change, wouldn't it, in comparison to what they'd be making in the Premier League. We don't know what to expect on the whole from the manager, do we? We don't expect what on the whole to know what's going to happen with the owners. So that immediately always, in any kind of long-term anti-post season bet, that makes me want to avoid Blackburn like any kind of plague that I wouldn't want to get involved in. Or any kind of ballet that I'd have to watch. But the other players, they've lost, Martin Olsen is a big loss to them. There's no argument about that. But Alan Judge, Chris Taylor, really good pace in the wins. Matt Kilgallen can be a coup if he gets it right. And DJ Campbell's hit or miss, but the point is, he can be hit. And as a foil for Jordan Rhodes, who is unquestionably the main daddy, it's not a bad signing at all. No. Derby have replaced Frank Fielding with Lee Grant, which, for me personally, seems a bit odd. John Eustace was excellent for Watford. I always really liked John Eustace. That's a clever signing. Chris Martin, too. But the buy for me is Johnny Russell. I mean, they've brought this guy down from Dundee United. He grabbed 20 goals last season. He was the Mac Daddy for them for a couple of years. Kept getting double figures in terms of goals. And what I'm trying to say is, I think Blackburn win this. I worry less, about Derby's goal scorers now that, they've got Jamie Ward and Johnny Russell. But, Blackburn do look a good bit of value. I mean, it's really as simple as that, Lee. The one thing I do like, though, outside of the Blackburn outright, which is 13-5 and far, 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 far too big and also worthy, of course, of a draw no bet lock, is the headline offer. Hills are offering a headline offer on this. Rhodes and Blackburn is 4-1. I love that.
Yeah, that looks good.
But do you know what the other thing that I love is? I don't think a lot of this season you're going to get Jordan Rhodes odds against to score anytime. He's 5-4 in this game anytime. 33 goals last season. And he loves playing Derby.
Yep.
Scored against him in the FA Cup where Blackburn won 3-0. Scored against him in the league at Pride Park. And he scored at home against them as well. This guy loves playing Derby. They couldn't deal with him. 5-4 any time for Jordan Rhodes is the goal scorer bet of the championship for me of the weekend.
I know it's a little bit of a kind of, not a mug bet so much, but you add it into there. Love being on the telly as well. There's something weird about him on the telly where he just seems to love playing on the TV.
5-4 any time looks phenomenal.
Yeah, looks very nice indeed. That's it for the games this week. Let's have a look at your best bets in Leagues 1 and 2, shall we? Where are you heading for your first League 1 nap of the season, Pete?
It's Peterborough at 19-20. I don't think that Peterborough have a phenomenal season that sees them promoted. I was very impressed to see that they brought in Britt Assombalonga, which I think is an excellent signing. He, of course, proved he could be absolutely ruthless in this league last year at times. Swindon, of course, parted ways with their manager pre-season. They're losing players, they're looking flat, and I'm fancying a very poor season for Swindon.
Right.
Truth be told, 19-20 for Peterborough looks absolutely excellent.
League 2, where would you be looking?
Yeah, Bury have brought in 17 players this summer. They've lost talismanic captain Stephen Schumacher, and I'm actually worried about the quality of those 17 that they've brought in. They'll be looking over their shoulder this year. And then Chesterfield have brought in some really good players. Gary Roberts, an unbelievable signing. Owen Doyle from Hibs could be amongst the best players in this league if he gets his good run at things and starts scoring. Jamie Devitt is really good as well. They brought him after a successful trial. And for me, they're unquestionably going to be among the promotion candidates. 29-20 for them to win this game looks absolutely excellent. I think Bury are going to have a disastrous season.
This year we're going to do a little bit of a both teams. Well, I'm going to do a both teams to score a double. I thought about a treble, but I thought let's start off with a double.
Okay.
And then when I've won 10 successive doubles, I'll move up to a treble.
Yeah.
So 20, 18?
34, yeah.
Oh, 34.
34.
Thanks for the vote of confidence.
No,
this week's we're open. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, as with all these games, we're kind of going on transfers and a bit of luck, really. But picked out two: Millwall versus Yeovil. Both teams to score 10-11. The reason I've picked out these two bets is because they're two of the biggest prices around, and I see no reason why they should be any different. Millwall conceded 62 goals last season, which is plenty. Yeovil, I know they're in a higher division, but scored 71 goals last season. I don't think that will leave them, and as Pete said, you know, you don't think Yeovil will do too badly anyway.
No, I don't think they're going down. I don't think they're going anywhere, but I don't think they're going down.
10-11 for the for that one, and 10-11 for Stevenage and Oldham to both score in their game. Finished 18th and 19th respectively in the division last year. Not great defensively, and you know, if you like head-to-heads, the head-to-heads landed in both teams to score in this game last season. This corresponding fixture again, 10-11. The double pace 13-5, and I think that's a nice way to start on a weekend where we're kind of we're going on trust a little bit on some of the fixtures. We're going to continue with our naps this year.
Yeah, I will start with Jordan Rhodes.
Do I get
anytime?
Handicap this year? Oh, we're just going to go from naught.
No, we just go from naught.
Jordan Rhodes anytime, 5-4.
Jordan Rhodes anytime, unquestionably the nap for me.
5-4 that was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with one of those bets that I've just put up there, and that's Millwall versus Yeovil. Both teams to score at 10-11. So you can see my tactic from an early stage is to go odds on and try and build up some confidence. If that loses, my confidence is gone immediately. Like a team who didn't do too well last season. I'm starting out bullish.
Yeah, and rightly so.
It could go. Pete, it's been enjoyable.
Yeah, glad to be back.
Yeah, excellent. We'll be back next week for the same. If you want to download any more of our podcasts, or this one again, go to williamhill.com/podcasts, or you can go to the iTunes Music Store and search William Hill Podcasts there. We've also done some video previews this weekend, so make sure you check those out on the football pages, and we'll be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.